Thank you. Let me just ask you to bow your head right now. Do you really know that Jesus loves you? Listen, if you do, why don't you just tell him thank you and tell him you love him back? But if you're not sure, glance up at either side of the worship center. There's a cross, and just look at it. And think, the one that would die for me really does love me. Father, our prayer is that every person, not just in this room, but in our community, and ultimately the world, will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a God in heaven that loves them, and that his son died on a cross. And may every single person hear just the echo of the words, I love you. Oh, I love you with an everlasting love. May they hear on high from heaven itself, God, you speaking. And we say thank you, and we love you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Morning, church. My name's David Franklin, and to a number of you, I'm no stranger because I've been here for a long time. But to a bunch of you, I look and see some faces that I hadn't seen before, which is always good. I'm a guy that's kind of a strange position. I'm what's called the associational missionary for the Bartow Association, a collection of churches working and banding together to reach our, not just one local community, but our region and ultimately the world for Christ. And so I actually work for you and serve you in kind of an unusual way to see Bartow County absolutely be overtaken by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate Ron allowing me just to come and preach and get to preach in different churches every Sunday, but it's always an honor. It's always fun to be at Cassville because there's just some good folks here. Now, y'all just missed it. I mean, I just gave you a chance to say amen. You could have complimented your wife, Walt.
Amen.
See there? So I'm going to try it again. There's just some fun, good people at Cassville Baptist Church. So you got to talk about yourself every now and then. Sometimes you just need to pat your spouse or the person next to you. Just pat them on the back. Say, you know what? You fit it. You're one of those people he's talking about. You know, y'all, it is okay to smile every now and then, okay? But I want to do something this morning that's a little different. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I'm going to kind of chase a bunch of rabbits, but I hope to do something that will be really, really practical this morning so that you will, hopefully you'll be able to walk out of here and think, you know what? I know how to take a step spiritually. I know how to, some of the mountains maybe in my life or in a church's life or in a community's life, we've got a better handle of how to address those and what to do with them. Let me see if I can just start with kind of a simple. The other day I was at Cracker Barrel eating lunch with one of our ministers, and I asked, just like Lisa, y'all did the other day, I asked the waitress, she's 21 years old, had a real nice smile, just a jovial person. I said to her, I said, is there anything we can pray for you about? And she kind of smiled, and she says, well, that, and then you could just see her countenance change. And she said this, she said, well, my mother and I aren't getting along very well. I said, really? She goes, yeah, matter of fact, she kicked me out of the house again. First time she kicked me out, I was 16. Now, y'all, this person did not look like somebody that would, you know, you would typically think would be kicked out of a house. You could tell she wasn't on drugs, anything like that. I mean, she just looked like a person that would fit in here at Cassville Baptist Church. And I said to her, I called her name, and I said, what about your dad? Is he in the situation, in the picture? She said, no. She said, I didn't meet him. Well, I met him for the first time when I turned 16. He lives up in North Carolina someplace. And she's on her own at 21. And what she needs more than anything is just for God to break out and break into her life in an unusual way. She needs a personal breakthrough. And most amazing thing is, y'all, that represents where the majority of people that I meet are. They need some kind of breakthrough in their life to help take them from where they are out of some kind of, it's like there's some kind of blockage for where they want to be, that they want to They want to get out. They want to get through it. They want God to break out in their life, but they don't know how to for that to happen. Now, a guy who did that in the Bible repeatedly to where he had this breakthrough kind of thing was King David. Y'all know the story of David. He was the one that killed Goliath. Young guy, got anointed king. He became king over Israel and was really the best and most, was probably the best of all the kings of Israel. So I want us to look at his life, and I want us to just do something this morning just to kind of examine in his life kind of just a pattern. And you'll see this pattern in his life, but not just in his life. It happened throughout the scriptures. So what I want to do is something just really, really practical, and I don't want to preach so much, is I just kind of want to walk through these passages of scripture and kind of talk to you about, all right, personally, is there anybody in here that has a situation that you know that God needs to intervene in and just break through in? Well, I can tell you in our churches in Bartow County, but let me just say, how many of y'all think God needs to break loose in America? Well, listen, I just want to walk through this, especially given the movie War Room that came out. How many of y'all have seen that movie? Now listen, that's not the majority of y'all. There's two things that you need to put. You need to go see the movie War Room, and you need to go see the movie Woodlawn. Woodlawn is about when God breaks out on a football team at Woodlawn High School, and then breaks out all over the school, and then all over the city, and radically changed the city for 20 years. I mean, the day a bunch of these football players, God broke out on these football players, 9 people went from that high school to the hospital from knivings in 1973 because of racial problems. I'm telling you, you need to go see that movie Woodlawn. I promise you'll be blessed. But War Room, it's an essential thing to see because it's a visual thing. Well, matter of fact, I'm just going to read what David already knew. He already knew how to do this. Well, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to mess with y'all this morning. I'm going to do it like one of our missionaries, okay? I'm going to story it so you can follow along in your Bible, but I'd prefer you look at me. And I want you to hear from 2 Samuel, from God's Word, about the time when David was anointed king over Israel. The Philistines, the enemies of God, the enemies of the children of God, heard that David had been anointed king. So they went up to search for him to try to kill him. Well, David heard about it, and he went down to his stronghold. And the Philistines came up, and they spread over the whole valley of Rephaim, searching for David. And David inquired of God. He said, Lord, should I go up? Should I go up and attack the Philistines? Will you give them into my hands? And God said, yes, go up. I'll give them into your hands. So David and his men went up, and they destroyed the Philistines. And David said, as the Lord breaks out, as the Lord broke out like water breaks out, he's done that today to the Philistines. And so he named the place where that had happened Bel Perazim, which means the Lord breaks out. And David and his men, well, the Philistines had fled, and they'd left all their idols on the battlefield, and they took all their idols. Sometime later, the Philistines came back. And once again, they spread out over the whole valley of Rephaim. And David once again asked of the Lord, should I go up like last time? And said, God says, no, don't go straight up. Circle around to where the poplar trees are, and you'll attack them there. But wait, and when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, go up quickly. And so David led his man. They circled around, and when they heard the marching of troops in the tops of the poplar trees, they went up quickly and completely destroyed the Philistines. And once again, there was a great victory for Israel. See, this is a story from God's Word. Now, I want us just kind of to walk through this, and I want to give you just some principles, okay, so that you'll know and be able to see some breakthroughs in your life in a very simple way. First thing you got to know, just found in our story, is you got to know what reality is. And Chris, you know what my generation hadn't taught you younger guys? We hadn't taught you reality. And here's what reality is. Every time God is up to something good, the enemy always opposes it. Now, let me say that again, guys. Every time God is up to something good at Castleville Baptist Church, the enemy's going to oppose what God's up to. Every time something good is happening, God's doing something in your life, wanting you to go do something, calling you closer to himself, the enemy wants to oppose it. See, I don't think it's not connected yet. Let me see if I can say it like this. There is one called Satan who used to be in heaven. He was the chief worship leader. He opposed God, wanted to be God. God, of course, is bigger. God threw him out of heaven with a third of the angels. He landed here on earth. He's the prince of this earth, and his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy everything that God is up to and wants to do. That save people, wants you to walk with God. God wants you to have the abundant life, to experience his presence here. Every time God's calling you to do that, Satan will always oppose that because that's what he's against. He's against God. Now, don't let that scare you, because God's bigger than he is. But you got to know what reality is. And if you don't know what reality is, if you don't understand that, you won't know that what you're in is a spiritual battle. There is a war going on, and we're caught in the middle. The old African saying is that when the elephants fight, the grass gets trampled. See, there's a battle right now, a spiritual battle for your life and your soul, and the life and soul of every single person. And that battle is going on, and it's raging. And God, God's so serious, he sent Jesus Christ to make sure that every single person could come to faith in Christ. But the enemy's like, no, we got to go about deception. We got to make sure these people don't know this. See, when David became king of Israel, the enemy, the Philistines, they heard about it and says, we can't have it. So they came up against him. Now, you don't see it quite like David saw it. It was obvious to David. But you got to know there's always somebody who is opposing what God is up to in an individual's life, in the lives of a church, in the life of a people. The enemy will always oppose it. Now, instead of being scared, what do you know about that kind of stuff? Let me see if I can illustrate it, okay? Let me illustrate a battle that you're just not aware of. See, a lot of times Satan's trying to do stuff and you're just not aware of it. Do y'all know right now, survey of 1,200 college professors was done several years ago, and they asked what was their attitudes toward various religions. Now, I know the last time I preached here, I told y'all this, but y'all didn't pay attention. 1,200 college professors, what's your attitude toward Judaism? 4% were antagonistic toward Judaism. Islam. And you can turn on television to see Islam is burning books and doing all kinds of things. Nobody tortures women and persecutes women as far as religion goes like Islam does. College professors, 22% were antagonistic toward Islam. But evangelical Christianity, how many college professors were antagonistic? Anybody remember the statistic I told you last time? 53% were antagonistic toward evangelical Christianity. How in the world did that happen? I mean, it goes back a long time ago, back into the 40s, there was a group of 107 folks got together and said, they were all humanists, they said, we have got to get Christianity and God out of our culture. And they set out, and you know what their number one strategy was? We've got to go into the younger generation right now, and we've got to grab them, get them to think a certain way, encourage them to become professors and stuff. And so they went on to college campuses, and you see they were incredibly successful during the 60s. They grabbed a bunch of folks, they became professors. And so today, now God, at least the God that you understand, is now the most, college professors are more antagonistic toward him than they are even toward Allah. which is crazy. I just got to hear a guy by the name of Kamal Saleem speak. Because of all the stuff that you've done in Bartow County with the National Day of Prayer and Pray Bartow, I got asked to be the state coordinator for the National Day of Prayer. And so I was out at the annual meeting out in Colorado Springs, and they had this guy who was a former Muslim. He was recruited and trained. Well, matter of fact, his family gave him up to be a martyr. Because if he's a martyr for Islam, the whole family gets saved. They all get to go to heaven. They sent him here to the United States. And he actually outlined the strategy that the Muslims have. One was to go into prisons and find guys that are angry and mad that they could recruit to Islam to get them to be homegrown terrorists. Second one is to go on the college campuses and do everything they can to get Islam on the college campuses. Another one of their strategies is to set up a shadow government. And if you go look, we've got a whole bunch of Muslims right now in Washington helping to give influence. See, they've got a plan. The enemy has a plan to destroy everything that God's about. Now, don't let that scare you. You just got to know this. Whatever's happening, well, let me say it like this. Castle Baptist Church, you know why you ought to be mindful of this? I'll tell you why. It's not because y'all put lights in this room to have kind of a feel. No, I'm going to tell you, right now in Bartow County, the more we pray and the more we try to disciple people, the intentionality of discipling people, the enemy's always going to oppose that. Matter of fact, I don't know if y'all are keeping up with other churches. You probably aren't, but I mean, there is a move on in Bartow County coming out of the prayer movement now to say we've got to disciple every single person. And so Tabernacle, just like Casper's doing it, Tabernacle, ATCO, Friendship, they're all looking. How can we make sure that every single person in our church really is discipled and walks with God? So y'all ought to be mindful of that. You ought to know, you know what? Expect some pushback in 2016. Because the more you walk with God, the more there's pushback. Now, some people say, let me just say this. You know why some of y'all don't experience any pushback from the enemy? Well, if you're walking in the same direction, y'all, you're not going to get any pushback. But if you're walking in the direction with God, you're going to get some pushback. But don't let that scare you. Because David, he saw victory. So here's what he did. The first thing, I mean, he knew what reality was. Second thing, watch this. He ran to God. Where did he go? Now, watch this. You can read. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him, but David knew. Now, where does it say? And he went down to where? His stronghold. Now, when we think of a stronghold, most of us are thinking of a military position, right? That's not the case here. You know where David went? He went to a place that he knew very well that it was his place that he met with God. Because that is a stronghold. Let me see if I can get you to make sure that you catch this. David knew that there was a place that he went to really, really spend time with God. Now, guys, every one of you, if you don't have that, you're in trouble. Matter of fact, if you go to the movie War Room, you'll see what God's trying to say to all of America is, go find you a place and set it aside that's your designated place to meet with God. That doesn't mean you can't use other places. You can drive down the road and meet with God. But I'm telling you, if there's not a place in your home or own some piece of property where you go to really seek God and inquire of God, you'll never go with God like God wants you to. Matter of fact, I brought my oldest Bible. Now for me, I'm telling you, I got a bunch of Bibles. I don't know how many. But I've read this one more than any of them. I don't use it anymore because it's falling apart. The pages are kind of ragged. But I'm telling you, this is the Bible that for me, this is part of my stronghold right here. Because this is the one that I know. I don't know about y'all. I can't remember all the references, but I know where it is on the page. I mean, I can start flipping through, and I know the story of David and Goliath. It's right there it is. I can see it on the page. But there's got to be a place that you go to spend time with God. If you don't have a stronghold, if you don't have a place, you know, in a stronghold, if you're there, if you're reading the Word of God, read it out loud, you're worshiping God, the enemy cannot stand the praise and the worship of God. He can't stand the spoken Word of God. That's why I read my Bible out loud. In my little place, I got a little place. It's hard. It was always hard for me to have a place because we had 5 kids. There was never any space in our house. I had me a place outside. I'm telling you, you got to find you a place to where you can go and inquire of God and to hear from God and seek God. It's a place where, read the scripture out loud. It's a place where the enemy, you've got to make that a place where the enemy cannot occupy that place because the presence of God is there. In other words, you got to go build an altar. You got to go find you a place in a closet, in a room, someplace at your house. You know the way the old folks used to do it 100 years ago up in North Georgia all the way up into West Virginia in the Appalachian region? It was a tradition. They'd have them a rock out in the woods. The man did, the man of the house. He'd go out to a rock, and that's where he'd pray. I had a guy, George Barnett, told me that he could walk up and down the hollow that he grew up in, and he'd hear men on Saturday night crying out to God on their rock. He said you could hear it the more you, as far as you walked up and down the hollow, you could hear people crying out to God, begging God. Because see, that was the place that they, that was their stronghold. That was the place they went to inquire of God. Matter of fact, they used to have a little saying, does your rock have moss on it? So I want to ask you today, does your rock have moss on it? But I dare say this, I know the statistics. The majority of people in the room don't even have a rock. They don't even have a place. Guys, where did Jesus, where was his stronghold? Where did he go to really pray? I mean, he was a person that, he didn't even have a house. But if you go look, one of the familiar places for him, one of the places that he repeatedly went to was the Garden of Gethsemane. So where did he go the night before he was crucified? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now listen, please hear me, okay? You're never going to see a spiritual breakthrough or God break out in your life apart from you having a place where you go that you get to meet with God. It doesn't have to be a legalistic kind of thing. You can be traveling and still, but a time and some place. There's got to be a time where you sit down with the Bible and commune with God. Let me tell you what's so sad, okay? I know this statistic. Only 4% of the people sitting on Sunday morning in our churches have a designated time and a place with God. Now, if we ever want to see America have a breakout with God, that's the thing that's got to change. You know what, you can change preachers. We could change every pulpit in America, and it wouldn't make any difference. The thing that's going to happen and change America is ultimately the home change. Because the church is a reflection of the house, the home. So guys, I'm telling you, I said this the other day at Tabernacle. Matter of fact, I sound like a broken record player. Castle Baptist Church, it's on you individually. Your house, your family, it's on you. The Presbyterian Church 200 years ago would not serve you communion unless you had a family devotion time. Hear that. They wouldn't even serve you communion if you didn't have a family devotion time where you had what's called a family altar. And today, less than 4%. That's why I'm telling you, guys, if we want to change the culture, oh, it's easy. But we got to do it God's way. See, David, he understood reality. So he went and he sought God. Then the scripture says, he asked God. I mean, he just point blank asked him, God, should I go up? Are you going to deliver him into my hands? Now, guys, one of the things I like about David, you don't find David having to pray sometimes for 24 hours. I like short prayers with quick answers. That's exactly what, but he had that, he was in his place. It wasn't a new thing for him to ask God. He'd been there a while. So he asked God. And so he asked God, and he heard from God. It's amazing what happens when we seek God, we ask God, we hear from God. And boom, he hears from God. So what is it? Well, surely, David, you're going to spend a lot of time talking about hearing from God. You know what, y'all, I'm not. I'm telling you, you're going to hear from God as you seek God in his word, as you pray, as you just listen. God may speak to you through music. There's going to be, you've got to develop. Well, let me say it like this. I'll just say this. We got to take the wax out of our ears. And just coming to church one Sunday a week and hearing a sermon, I know that the average person goes to church 1.7 times a month. That's not enough. Matter of fact, that's not enough for you to walk with God. But even if you came every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, you came on Wednesday night, if you were eating food for the nourishment of your body, would you eat three times a week? You know the answer to that. No. We like to eat regularly, right? If we're going to be strong and really go see God do what, we've got to do this on a regular basis. That's why your spiritual life is your personal responsibility. Let me say that again. Your spiritual life is your responsibility. But that's where the joy is. That's where the fun is. It is, I'm telling you, the most fun thing in life is to walk with God. Everything else, I've tried it, is boring and bland and leads to frustration. But if you want to see God break out, because when David heard, man, he goes up. He attacks the Philistines. Verse 20, so he went up to Baal Perazim, and he defeated them. Notice how short that is. Guys, it's simple. This isn't complicated. Verse 20, and so David went up. He defeated them, and he said, oh, as the waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So he called the place Baal Perazim, which Baal means God, and Perazim means he breaks out. Now, I got a question for you. Is there anybody that needs for God to break out in some situation in your life? Well, listen, it's not that God doesn't want to, but you've got to do it God's way. When God told David, yes, go up, David instantly obeyed. One of the greatest things that I see, there's two things that I see that just hinder. One is people don't have a regular time and a place that they connect with God. The second thing is when God does say something, they hesitate. Are you sure, God? Instant obedience is the way to live. I'm telling you, when God speaks, just do it. When God speaks, just do it. You know why David was so confident that when God said, yeah, go up, I'll take care of this. He was outnumbered, he was outgunned. Why did he have that confidence? Because he knew who God was. He'd been with God. And so as soon as he said it, the issue was not the Philistines. It wasn't the problem. The issue was God. And if God says do it, then he's going to take care of you. People ask all the time, said, well, how do you do this? I'm like, I don't know. Don't ask me. Ask God. And when God says it, then that's the way you do it. Now let me just keep going here, okay? I want you to make sure that you catch one last thing, then I'm going to close. What a beautiful thing it is when God breaks out. I'm talking about when God just breaks out into a problem. I wish everybody in Bartow County could say, you know what? There's a time in my life I went and named it Baal Perazim because God broke out in these circumstances. May have been some medical thing, may have been a financial thing. Maybe in a family struggle where all of a sudden God had to intervene or otherwise there was no hope. But watch this. Verse 22. Oh, once more the Philistines came. Don't think that just because you have victory today that victory is that you're going to get victory tomorrow. You can't live on last week's or last year or 10 years ago victories. Matter of fact, I'll say this. Right now, 85 to 90% of churches across America are plateaued or declining. You know one of the biggest reasons is because we're living off of last 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we're living off the victory from way back when. But watch what David did. Crazy thing. Here he is, the king. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord. Again, he asked, which was right. Don't go straight up, but circle around them from the front of the poplar tree, the balsam tree. Circle around. And when you hear the marching of the troops in the trees across the tops of it, then go up quickly. Now, why didn't God just say, yeah, go back up, I'll deliver them? Why do you think God did it a different way the second time? You know, Charlotte, the easiest thing in the world is this. God does something spectacular this way, so then we make it an annual event, and we do the same thing over and over again. And you know what reality is, God? You don't learn who God is that way. See, you don't walk in dependence with God is if every time, if it happened this way. Listen, I made this mistake one time pastoring a church. I went to South Alabama to pastor, had this incredible bad problem. And so I'm before God. God, what am I supposed to do? And God told me very clearly, boom, do this. God broke out. We saw all these people get saved. To this day, it's still one of the greatest places of ministry that I've ever seen. So guess what? God takes me to another church. I didn't ask him. I did the same thing in this church, but no, that wasn't what God wanted. And I made a mistake and had to recover. Had to go confess. So we were having this conversation the other day. Pray Bartow, National Day of Prayer next year. I said, we're going to read the Bible again. We're like, I don't know. We hadn't asked God. Just because we've done it 2 years in a row and had great success and they're talking about it nationally, that doesn't mean we'll do it again. But you know what we do? We have a tendency to do what we did the last time God did something incredible. We have a tendency to do the same thing. No. We're going to go ask God because God wants to do it. It's not going to be the same way every time. All right, Moses got to see a burning bush. How many times did Moses get to see a burning bush? One. Well, why didn't God do it again? Guys, I'm telling you, the human nature is to always go back and do it the same way we did it before because that takes no... it takes no faith. See, when God told David, you circle around behind him and wait for the sound of the, when you hear the troops marching through the trees. Now, you don't think that wasn't a little crazy? See, here's what I know. If Cassville Baptist Church or Tabernacle or Daresville, name a church, if they try to do the same thing tomorrow that they've been doing from 50 years ago, I promise you God won't bless it. But I tell you what God's going to bless is when you individually, in a situation, you go before him and say, God, how do you want to do this? Show me. Or God says, listen, church, come seek me. Show me. And the church says, show us, God, how we're supposed to reach this generation. Yeah, here's the craziest thing. I remember when I was a young guy, back when I had a full head of hair before any of it turned gray. Of course, that was before I had four teenage daughters. I remember saying this out loud. I said, I can't wait till I'm 50 because I'll know something by that time. I turned 50. I remember the day I turned 50, God brought that back up to my mind. And I remember having to say, you know what, God, I know less today. Because the culture has so radically changed. We had a meeting the other night, a couple of y'all were here, about legal issues facing the church. Who would have ever thought the Supreme Court would have ruled in favor of gay marriage? I've never lived in a season like this. Of course, I've never lived in a season where there's so much attack. Y'all know the other day in Oregon, guy walked in, and listen, this is part of the Muslim strategy, okay? And you're not getting the full news, but a guy walks in and he says, how many of y'all are Christians? Stand up, and he walks over and shoots. Bam, bam, intentionally targeted Christians. I'm going to tell you, guys, I didn't grow up in that kind of world. World's changed, but my God hadn't changed. The problem is never God. The problem is me making sure that I'm doing it God's way. But you know what that takes? That takes me walking with God. And here's what reality is. The vast majority of you, my age and older, y'all were not like I was. No, when I became a Christian, nobody discipled me. I became a Christian and walked down the aisle. I need to do that. And everybody cried and hugged my neck. And I went home and they left me to myself. See, the world's changed. Our students going away to college now are facing things. I'm talking about you've got to be bold to be a Christian nowadays. It's going to cost us something. Well, that's not the way some of us grew up, but it's the world's changed. But God hadn't changed. So is there a solution? Absolutely. Go see God. And when he speaks to you, do what he says. And you're like, well, that sounds too simple. Guys, it's not complicated. Get in God's word. Find you a place and a time. Get in God's word and start walking with him. I mean, just step by step. And you'll start seeing God break out in ways that you can't even imagine. Let me just close with this. Because I'm on this mission to say in my lifetime, I want to make sure everybody walks with God and gets to have the fun. I'm telling you, life's more fun. I'm 54. Life's more fun for me right now because I'm walking with God closer. I'm having more fun than I would ever imagine. There's not a week that goes by that I don't see some kind of miracle. I'm talking about the craziest thing. Guys, this guy, Kamal Saleem, he was sent here to be a terrorist. Now he's up to all these leaders from all over America, and he's testifying about Jesus Christ, and God broke through in his life and saved him. He had a wreck, a bunch of bones broken. The orthopedic surgeon that operated on him and the guy who was his physical therapist, they started witnessing to him, and the orthopedic surgeon brought that guy into his house so he could do rehab and took care of him. Now that's bold. Am I saying you need to go get a Muslim to come live with you? No. Because that may not be God's will for that individual person. But Kaleem said, he got so frustrated at watching these people have love and a family, and they would fuss with each other, and then they would make up, and he said, I've never seen that. He said he finally went back to his apartment. The doctor handed him a key to the house and says, anytime you can come over. He said, why would this? He went back and got on his knees and prayed to Allah and said, God, Allah, why did you send me there? Why did you send me to live with the swine? Why did you send me to live with the pigs? He told us, that's what I was trying to call you. Because that's what Christians are. He said, why did this happen to me? I'm a faithful servant of yours, Allah. I've come here to kill them. Why did you let me live with them? And I asked him, and you know what he said? Nothing. He said, so then I prayed and I said, Jesus, if you're really real. And he said, all of a sudden I heard Jesus Christ speak to me. And I knew that my God was a liar and a false God. And God saved me right then. Guys, do y'all know that Muslims right now are having dreams about this man standing in white named, and he keeps calling him in the middle of the night? I mean, this is happening all over the United States, all over the world. Things are not as they used to be. We're in a spiritual battle that, I'm telling you, we've got to get in touch with God and get God's plan. Castle Baptist Church, listen, you got to seek God. You're doing that, but I'm here to say, good for you. Go for it. But just know that you're in a battle. All right, let me close because I'll keep talking. I'm the only guy in the room that can keep up with Lisa, right? Where'd Lisa go? There you go. At least I'm honest, Lisa. That's what you said right before the service. At least I'm honest. I may have told you this before. And if I did, I'm going to tell it to you again. 1990, Uganda has been absolutely ravaged. Idi Amin has killed hundreds of thousands of people. They had a 36% HIV rate. The World Health Organization said there's no hope for the nation. The Muslim dictator went to the Christians and said, can you help us? We're going to lose the nation. And they said, but you know what they did? They went to their homes, and God taught them about a prayer altar or a stronghold to where they had a time and a place, and they started getting serious with God, and God started doing crazy things. The more they started walking with God, God told them to do things that they couldn't even imagine. And the more they followed God, today Uganda is over 50% Christian. They declared themselves a Christian nation. HIV rate is 6%. Oh, wait, David, the World Health Organization, have they figured out a cure to AIDS? No, they hadn't, but God has. That nation now, matter of fact, you can go check it out on YouTube. The ruler has declared them a Christian nation and has refused the money from the United States government because they refuse to promote homosexuality. Guys, I'm telling you, they had a breakout of God. But listen, we've had that in the United States before. It happened in the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening. We've had that happen here in the United States. That's what we're... Listen, I really want to do this. I want to say, I want you to find out about this personally. But then I want to ask you to take it to the next level and say, Lord, would you break out in our church? Would you break out in Bartow County? Would you? God wants to do some things in a place in the United States so that the whole world can say, you know what? God's broken out there and be a model. That's what God wants to do in Bartow County. But it's not going to happen if all of us keep just doing the same thing. I'm telling you, go see that movie War Room. Find you a time and a place. Get you a designated time and a place and go sit with God and just open up your Bible and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but read a passage like this story and just start praying it. Just read, God, help me to have a breakthrough. If you did it in David's day, God, I'm asking you, would you just break through? I know that the enemies, there's things that I can't even see. God, help me to see and help me to respond to the enemy correctly. I'm telling you all, life is fun. Oh, is the economy perfect? No, I don't care what the government says. You know better than that. But is life good? Absolutely, if you walk with God. I'm telling you, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think, man, God's good. But I know this. There's too many people in bondage that need a breakthrough. Here's a good biblical example of how to do it. Let me ask you to bow right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray that every single person in this room right now will think of some issue, something in their life to where they know that, God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. Lord, there's people here in bondage. Would you give them a breakthrough? Lord,